Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect right now? With the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, need a new playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. My Thanksgiving message, why Thanksgiving and Marxism are incompatible. I think you'll really like this episode. We talk about a lot of different topics, and it's a great intro to Thanksgiving. So listen to it, text it to your friends, and subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Okay, I want to encourage you guys. You have got to get your tickets today to AmFest. It's been there for a couple years. It is a game-changing, life-changing event. It has secured the title of the largest multi-day conservative gathering in history. You know, over 10,000 people attend. You better get your tickets. They're popping. AmFest has an electrifying environment, leads the charge to fight the American culture war. As we bring you to the epicenter of freedom, the speakers are unbelievable. You might ask, well, when is it? It's December 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and come on. I mean, these speakers, hold your phone. Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, Patrick Bet-David, Candace Owens, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Ali Beth Stuckey, James O'Keefe, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Jason Whitlock, Gad Saad, Brandon Tatum, Seth Dillon, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Yanmi Park, Michael Seifert, James Lindsay, Steve Bannon, Eric Metaxas, Donald Trump Jr., Josh Hawley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and bigger names than even that to be announced soon. So get your ticket today, amfest.com. That is amfest.com. You're going to really love it. I think when you come, you'll meet new people. Maybe you want to find a husband or a wife. Come to AmFest. Find a best friend. Come to AmFest. Have kids that you're afraid are slipping to the liberal side. Go to AmFest. Have conservative kids that you want to give them the best Christmas gift ever. AmFest.com. Meet your heroes. See them in person. Plus, there's breakouts and media row. It's an incredible, incredible event. AmFest.com. Just coming in a couple weeks, Phoenix, Arizona. We're doing our show live, by the way, from Media Row. Love seeing all of you taking selfies. It's great. We spent a couple hours there last year. It was really amazing. AmFest.com. This four-day event is packed with empowering speakers, hundreds of patriotic partner organizations, and the America-loving community that you have been searching for. Don't miss on the amazing concert, too. And let me tell you, come on, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Ali Beth Stuckey, James O'Keefe, Patrick Bet-David, Glenn Beck. I mean, just drop everything and come to Phoenix. AmFest.com. AmFest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Tons of stories to cover. Lots happening. But I want to lead with Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite days of the year. It is uniquely American. No other country has a national holiday, national day of rest, where they just stop and they say, today we are going to prioritize gratitude. You cannot have a country, a religion, a faith without rituals. Rituals are necessary. One of the things I'm most afraid of is that in America, we have lost our rituals. July 4th parades, kids acting in plays about Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. Rituals will lead to the ethical. It will lead to the holy. One of the main reasons, one of the reasons why the Jewish people have lasted so resiliently over 3,000 years of persecution is they have some incredibly strict rules about ritual. The Shabbat, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, and so on and so forth. The ritual of Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to something greater than you. America was founded by a group of men who believed that there was a God and it was not them. 55 out of 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. They believe in ethical monotheism. So Thanksgiving fit naturally. Regardless of your theology, even regardless if you are Jewish or Christian, you cannot do any sort of overview of the scriptures without encountering a repeated declaration that you should give thanks. Ephesians 5:20, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 12:24, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This country was founded, the civilization was founded on several values. One of them was gratitude. You cannot be happy unless you have gratitude. It's impossible. It is an ironclad law of life. You cannot have joy if you are not thankful. One of the main reasons that we are seeing the collapse of the West is we have sent generations of our young people, and now we're at two or three generations with Gen Z, to go wildly into debt to get degrees in ingratitude. Now, it doesn't say Carol Jones degree in gratitude, but that's basically what it is. If you're studying North African lesbian poetry, they're not telling you how great America is, how great the West is. You are not leaving with a sense of awe, wonder, and appreciation for what has been given to you. No, they create activists. At the root of the anti-Israel protests and the Jew hatred, at the root of the anti-Western rancor is a lack of appreciation. So tomorrow, Thanksgiving, there are two ways to handle this amazing holiday. With bitterness or with gratitude. The way that you handle Thanksgiving will largely instruct your politics and the rest of your life. Tomorrow is a litmus test. And mind you, for most of America, 80 to 90% of people, most American history, would treat tomorrow the same. This never used to be a political holiday. Now, they might pretend to be, oh, yeah, you know, Thanksgiving, but eventually it kind of falls apart because a left winger at Thanksgiving will say, yeah, I'm thankful. But who are you thankful to? Yourself? Mother Earth? Without a belief in the Almighty, who are you thankful to? A transcendent. Now, maybe you're thankful to your parents or generations before, but there's a reason why so many kids come home from college and Thanksgiving is a place of turmoil and division and a schism. Because the premise of Thanksgiving is that you actually have a pretty awesome life. And even if you don't, you should still give thanks under all circumstances. And the philosophical foundation found in colleges is the opposite. I'm going to complain. The basis of the woke is complaining. And that is nothing new. All throughout the book of Numbers, which is actually In the Wilderness, which is the actual title of the book, God's chosen people, the Hebrews, are complaining relentlessly. Send us back to Egypt. We want cucumbers and melons and leeks. Who is this Moses guy? We want to go back to slavery because at least we had meat. It might not feel like Thanksgiving is a political holiday, and I don't want it to be a political holiday, nor should you. But unfortunately, it's become one of the most political of all things because it's a test. If you have a big family dinner tomorrow and the person who says, thank you, Lord, for this country. Yes, we have problems, but thank you that I get to live in this beautiful place. To the 19-year-old nephew that you have, who smugly and arrogantly says, but what about the injustice? How could I have a good Thanksgiving when the people of Gaza are living in an open-air prison? That is a learned behavior. Don't be shocked when the ritual of saying thanks is put in jeopardy when you have sent tens of millions of our most prized possession, our young people, to indoctrination camps, and they have graduated with mountains of debt and degrees in ingratitude. They become expert complainers. Everything could be near perfect. Everything. And they'll find something wrong. Their identity becomes that it's not good enough. Instead of saying, hey, 19-year-old nephew, why don't you get your act together? Now, mind you, I'm going to talk about how it's also an opportunity for you to deprogram at the Thanksgiving table. We'll talk about that in a second. The left is defined by complaining about everything. The weather, climate change. I'm not paid enough. Patriarchy. They weaponize the rumblings and the murmurs and the discontent for their power. They mobilize the grievances. And tomorrow has always been and should continue to be a hedge against it. And here is how you handle it. Forget all the politics. As soon as one of those left-wing radicals at the Thanksgiving table tomorrow, an uncle, an aunt, start complaining about our democracy, you say, that's not what this day is about. Only gratitude at this table. Only. You have 364 other days to complain. Tomorrow is not even a day for us as conservatives to say, oh, what about men and female sports? Tomorrow's a day to say, I'm thankful we can still talk about it. I'm thankful that X is liberated by Elon Musk. A day of remembrance that things are still filled with blessings despite all the difficulty. That's what Thanksgiving is about, and it is an antidote to Marxism. And I'll say this before I talk about Marxism. Gratitude and Marxism are incompatible. You cannot be a Marxist and be a thankful person, and you can't be a thankful person and be a Marxist, period. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/charlie. At the root of Marxism is the following quote. The ruthless criticism of all that exists. It is not complicated to get a bunch of young people to do that, to complain. I don't like that. Give me more money. I don't want to work. Forgive my loans. Give me weed. Give me alcohol. It takes no talent to criticize. In fact, it is tempting to constantly criticize. If you produce more than you criticize, you are a conservative. If you criticize more than you produce, you are a left winger. I came up with that myself, by the way. And that video has gone viral. And Thanksgiving is a day that we have passed down through generations that is not on its surface political, but it is incredibly political in today's America. How you handle tomorrow tells me everything about your worldview. Now, somebody might say, but Charlie, I am not in a good place in my life. What do I have to be thankful for? Wrong mentality. There is always something you can be thankful for. Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, is a beautiful example of that. If you are having a more difficult life than Viktor Frankl, please email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Losing your wife at a concentration camp and every one of your blood relatives and having to serve in a concentration camp for multiple years and almost dying. If you're having a more tough time than Viktor Frankl, I want to hear about it. freedom@charliekirk.com. You can find meaning in your suffering. And it is a mindset shift. The West was built on people that found meaning through their suffering. The American pilgrims believed that suffering was actually God's plan. They were Calvinists. And so they said, boy, this is tough, but it's God's plan for us, for his glory, for his good. You also live a happier life this way. I get asked frequently, well, why, Charlie, is the next generation so suicidal and so alcohol addicted and so drug addicted and they are so sad? There's many reasons, but the simple one is they're the least grateful generation ever. And I'm not even talking about the God question, which is the obvious one. If you don't believe in God, then how could you ever get to gratitude? But tomorrow is a day that was designed, whether intentionally or unintentionally, I'm not going to get into it, to understand that thankfulness and gratitude is a discipline. No matter your circumstances, you have to become good at it. You have to have a gratitude journal. And by the way, we all fall short of the standard, myself included. There's study after study in clinical data that shows that you could put a person in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a great study where they did this. They put two people in Phoenix, Arizona in the middle of July. And they replicated the study time and time again. And it's 115 degrees. And they come back and they ask, what did you think of the weather in Phoenix? And a majority of respondents said it was too hot. It was awful. The other person said, I'm so glad it was sunny the whole time. Same circumstance. Completely different takeaway. You get to choose how you analyze it. Yeah, it's hot. It's 115, but it's also sunny. It's not humid. And I'm thankful that I get to see the sun. And maybe where you live in, I don't know, Ann Arbor, Michigan, it's cloudy all the time. That's a mindset shift. We train the youth of America to see, instead of the beautiful grandeur, this tapestry of blessing that has been given to us, they find the little dot that is maybe wrong or imprecise, and they make it their identity. Thanksgiving started as a way to say, thank you, Lord, for the provision. And it has been passed down as this incredibly beautiful institution that's focused on family, time off, and it leads into the Christmas season. But I've always loved Thanksgiving, and now I take a step back, and now I know why I love Thanksgiving and why the people that are trying to destroy our country, I'm not going to say they're trying to get rid of Thanksgiving, but they don't honor it as the ritual towards the holy. Of course they don't. There is more rancor amongst the radical left around Juneteenth, because that's rooted in complaining, than the spirit of Thanksgiving. They might obviously practice Thanksgiving, okay, day off, whatever, but the spirit of Thanksgiving, how many people tomorrow that are mainstream Democrats will go out of their way to say, wow, look at the blessing? Of course not. That makes them less powerful. If they tell their base, hey guys, we actually have it pretty good, then why should they get more power? Tyrants will never, ever tell the population they're trying to master, hey, things are actually great. Instead, they'll say, things are miserable, so give me more power. Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, and you guys can fact check on me. You guys can fact check me. Google and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen and combined with many other essential vitamins to boost your body's cellular function. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking StrongCell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love StrongCell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since I use StrongCell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. Dr. Mark Ahern said, quote, amazing product, has helped my patients, myself, tremendously. My energy feels like I'm in my 20s again. I love this product. It's StrongCell. You guys can look up the science, NADH. NAD is the life force that rebuilds your mitochondria. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by StrongCell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Go to StrongCell.com and learn more for yourself. That's StrongCell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Visit StrongCell.com/Charlie, or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155. Or visit StrongCell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use Charlie discount at checkout to get 20% off your order. You guys have got to check it out right now. NADH with collagen, that combination is amazing. It promotes longevity. It helps with immune system, mental clarity, and it's clinically shown to increase your body's ability to naturally produce NAD. So check it out right now. It's called 888-596-0155. Or check out StrongCell.com/Charlie. I think parents are starting to wake up that when you send your kids to college, that it's not just the ideas that they learn, but it is the process of which they interpret the world. And that's very important. I've been trying to make this point, and honestly, I've made it rather clumsily over the last 11 years, but I'm getting better and better at articulating this. Which is, some parents will say, but Charlie, you know, who cares if they will read, you know, Rousseau and they read the Communist Manifesto. I want them to be open to all sorts of ideas. That's fair. I totally agree, by the way. That's not what we're getting at, though. What we're getting at is the actual process of how they interpret and how they bring in information. So whether you know it or not, there are different ways of thinking. And we take it for granted. So I'll give you a great example, how I read scripture. When I read scripture and I find something that I don't understand, or I see something that I personally don't like, I believe that I'm the one that's wrong and scripture is right, and I need to figure out why. So that's a system of thinking. And it's come over a long period of time. And it's, of course, it's still with inquiry, but the benefit is on scripture, not on me. When young people go to university, they view the world, whether they realize it or not, even if they come from a conservative upbringing, it wears them down because of the homework and the books and the lectures and the videos, where instead of looking at the world as an abundance of opportunity, at a place of potential prosperity, rooted, of course, in a gratitude, thankful posture, they look at it as a place of exploitation, thievery, stealing. And so the methodology of how they actually see the world and the formula of how they process information changes without parents even realizing it. So it's not just the books you consume. It's not just what the professors are saying. They are reworking the actual neural pathways of how an entire generation will read the newspaper. Jordan Peterson said this better than I can, quite honestly, with Bill Maher the other day. Listen to this, cut 27.
I mean, part of the reason that you see all this foolishness on university campuses, too, is because people have bought this idiot meta-Marxism, which is that the way to look at every social relationship that people ever have is through the lens of power. And that is, we can put that squarely at the feet of the universities. Once you get that, which you can get in about 2 minutes if you sit in a course that teaches that sort of thing, you have a lens to moralize about the whole world through. And then you see the situation is that the leftists have already decided the Palestinians are the victims. And as you pointed out, if you're a victim, then you're morally righteous. And even more conveniently, if you stand for the victim, then you're morally righteous, regardless of what you do with your own life.
So the bad guys will call this cognitive bias, but it's actually really a good way to interpret it. So if you have a group of people and there's a, you know, there's clinical data after clinical data that shows this. And by the way, it's you guys could do it right now. So if you're watching the Charlie Kirk show, you close your eyes for 5 minutes and I want you only to think about the color green. Only think about the color green. Only think about the color green. Only think about the color green and open your eyes. What are you, immediately you're going to notice the rumble thing right behind me. Right behind me. Because you've been trained, or at least you primed your brain to be obsessed with color green, color green, color green, color green. And then boom, you open your eyes go immediately to this right here, this rumble thing behind me. So you largely in life, you notice what you are primed to notice. Another example, you know, walking around Phoenix, Arizona, Tony Robbins, I really like him. I noticed about two years ago, he was selling this hat with a four-leaf clover that said, get lucky. I saw that on his website. All of a sudden, I start walking around Phoenix and I see everybody wearing that hat. Now, was there a massive increase in people wearing that hat just because I noticed that the hat was for sale? Or was the hat always there? I just happened to then notice it. Another example, you buy a new car or you're aware of buying a new car and you start driving around and everyone is driving those cars. Was there a sudden increase in the purchase of that car, or are you now noticing that car more? You get the point. It's proven in psychology. It's proven in many ways. It's just with your own reason you could do. That is how you train a young student to view the world. They close their eyes, say, find the injustice, 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 find the injustice. And they open their eyes, and instead of looking at all of the blessing and the beauty and the grandeur, and the improbability of what we've been able to do in the West, and the fact that we're not tearing each other apart every single day, even though we're close to it, they've been conditioned to see the world in a specific way. Thanksgiving is a single day that pushes back against that. Thanksgiving instead tries to ritualize a single day that you will view the world through a grateful mindset. So if you train, incentivize, and then test millions of college students to see the world through oppressor-oppressed dynamics, that's not a joyful way to live. This happens every single year. We could play tons of these clips. But Thanksgiving is now, you know, being pushed for cancellation, and I'm not going to exaggerate. This is not a majority of opinion. It's a fringe, but make no mistake, this is mainline academic thinking on most universities. This is American Indian activist Chase Iron Eyes on his push to cancel Thanksgiving. Play cut three.
Chase Iron Eyes is a member of the Oglala. Let me hear it from you, Chase.
You know, every year we go through these rituals. These are rituals, these holidays. And in America, there is a settler, a European foreigner, alien settler cultural mythology. When we hijack the truth and we put in its place something that is more palatable, something that eases our guilty settler conscience, it sets us up for conflict.
American Indian activist Chase Iron Eyes continues by saying, we are consciously deconstructing our Euro-hetero-Christian programming. Now, I wouldn't expect CNN to push back and say, hey, Chase Iron Eyes, the part of the white European Christian programming you want to get rid of? Is that, I don't know, common law? Innocent until proven guilty? Private property rights? Charity? Not cutting people's scalps off of rival tribes? Not worshiping the earth? What was the morality of the American Indians when the Europeans came? What was the worldview when it came to the defense of the innocent? Benevolency. What was the metaphysics of the American Indians? It was earth worship. It was pagan. But he wants to deprogram that. He wants to go back to polytheism. Well, many gods, many moralities. Play cut four.
You know, we have Native American Heritage Month. That's going on right now. And we're just now in a state where we're consciously deconstructing Euro, hetero, Christian programming. When you look into it, I'm a lawyer, and I've studied the sources of these cultural mythologies. The mythologies where one demographic is not only the settler, but the cowboys that tamed the Wild West and brought under their control and their subjugation all the beasts of the wild, not only the animals, but they're talking about us. They're talking about the merciless Indian savages.
Yeah.
That is in the United States Constitution.
No, it's not in the Constitution. It is in the Declaration of Independence, but it's not in the Constitution. This guy's a moron. The word savages is used in the Declaration. It's not used in the Constitution. But that's neither here nor there. I'll give him a little bit of grace there. But he says these European mythologies, he is just one example of hundreds I could play of the relentless, ruthless criticism of all that exists. And I'm going to say this gently, because I do have a heart for these people, is why are Native American reservations so poor? Is that the white man's fault? Native Americans have sovereignty. They have their own laws, their own governing boards. They're even allowed to have gaming where on many, you know, non-tribal territory, not allowed to have. Why do the Native American reservations remain some of the saddest places in America? And I feel for these people. Very high rates of alcoholism, very high rates of depression, very high rates of runaway kids, very high rates of abuse, very high unemployment rates. Why is that? Is it the white man's fault? Is it Euro mythology? Or is it the same thing that is the connective tissue with Gaza, which is the people in charge haven't focused on the well-being and the prosperity of their people and instead have been focused on the white man? It does not take depth to blame the white man for your troubles. It takes maturity to say, we have work to do. All right, everybody, the holidays and big family feasts are upon us. But in D.C., there's no bigger turkey than Senate Bill 1339. It's still being pushed by that radical rascal, Bernie Sanders. Bad guy. I don't say that lightly. He is a bad person. I'll tell you, he's a Marxist. Senate Bill 1339 is Bernie's latest attempt to sneak in a backdoor takeover of more of our health care. He falsely claims it will lower prescription drug prices. But S1339 will actually just do the opposite. It'll handcuff pharmacy benefit managers who are currently saving millions of dollars on an average of $1,040 a year. Bernie is hoping that despite thousands of your fellow Americans already going to lowermydrugprices.com to stand up against S1339, you'll be too busy making holiday plans or getting ready for a year-end vacation to stop him from a power grab on your healthcare. So here's what's happening. The Marxist, the commie. He's trying to put this bill in. Listen very carefully. I'm urging you to keep up the pressure against passage of S1339 by going to lowermydrugprices.com. The Council for Citizens Against Government Waste says if you don't want a socialized system that takes away your personal health care choices, increases cost, and makes you wait longer to see the doctor, go today to lowermydrugprices.com to stop the Senate from passing the Sanders bill. Remember, we have momentum, but we need your help today. The Charlie Kirk Show brought to you in part by Council for Citizens Against Government Waste. Again, it's Senate Bill 1339. We must stop it. LowerMyDrugPrices.com. Numbers 11. And the people complain. Now, remember the context. The Jewish people were just delivered from Egypt. They were in slavery. They were in captivity. Horror. Brutality. God performs 10 miracles, parts the Red Sea, so 11 miracles, and brings them where they needed or wanted or nothing. Quail blown off course, manna from heaven. And just a couple chapters later, they are complaining. The people complained in hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Okay, that is one verse. God doesn't like complaining. When the Lord heard them complaining about their misfortunes, his anger was kindled. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. Bring us back to Egypt, where we were slaves, but we had better food. They just experienced one of the greatest miracles in the entire Bible. And they say, we want to go back to eat meat. Remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. It does not take depth to complain. And they were not hungry, by the way, at all. Just to, they had manna, they had quail blown off course. They just wanted better food. And they were willing to go back to slavery to be under Pharaoh. Complaining is the normal human behavior. Gratitude is not. Gratitude is a discipline. Gratitude is a practice. Abraham Lincoln, October 3rd, 1863, a declaration of Thanksgiving just days after Gettysburg. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. Boy, they used to be such talented writers. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved to all nations. Order has been maintained and the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, which, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful divisions of wealth and of strength in the fields. And it continues by saying, I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to participate in Thanksgiving, or Day of Thanksgiving and Praise to our beneficent Father. This proclamation is viewed as the beginning of the national holiday of Thanksgiving Day. Abraham Lincoln issued the proclamation, but he did not author it. Secretary of State William Seward penned the 1863 proclamation. In July of 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg resulted in more than 50,000 American casualties. Despite these losses, the United States gained a great victory during these 3 days. On October 3rd, 1863, with that victory in mind, as well as its cost, he wrote this proclamation. Even in the midst of unspeakable horror, he said, we must give thanks. This was at the peak of the worst period in American history. And yet he looked to God Almighty. He looked to the eternal. Yeah, things look like they're collapsing in this country. They're not as bad as they were during the American Civil War. Not even close. The country was actually at a civil war. And yet he looked to God to be thankful. I think that is a great lesson this Thanksgiving week. Gratitude takes perspective. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. It does not happen naturally. Complaining happens naturally. Gratitude takes work. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.